Ante Up is your poker magazine dedicated to the everyday player and their poker rooms. Pick up a free copy at your favorite poker room nationwide each month. But Ante Up is much more than a magazine. Visit anteupmagazine.com daily for breaking news and each week download our award-winning poker cast. Join us on our action-packed poker cruises to exotic destinations and find special deals on Ante Up gear and great poker products at anteupstore.com. Ante Up. It's your poker magazine.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Ante Up PokerCast. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's September 2nd, 2011. You're listening to the best poker cast on the ocean. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
We have a special guest with us today.
Yes, it's a three-way today.
I will not say anything about that. I'll just say that it is Lee Childs sitting at us, the poker table with us today. He's on our cruise. We're on the Monarch of the Seas. Lee, thanks for being here today.
Hey, man, it's great to be here.
We're having a great time having you here this week, eating dinner with you, listening to some of your seminars, and playing poker with you. Watching your dad.
He's having a heck of a time, isn't he?
Yeah, he's having a ball.
Yeah, lots of ladies hanging out with your dad. I wish I got to see that, but I didn't. But we're having a good time, and we're wrapping up the cruise. Tonight's our last full day, and tomorrow we go home. But I don't know. What do you think, Scott? What do you think of the cruise so far?
First of all, I'm going to say I'm not only happy that Lee Childs is sitting here talking to us. I'm just happy he's on the cruise ship.
Yeah.
You know, because we've been trying to get him on since the first cruise, yep. And he has been a greasy little squirrel. Can't pin him down, and we finally got him down now. So, Lee, really, I appreciate the fact that you were able to make this work. And
thanks, man. I appreciate it. I'm glad to be here because I've wanted to go before. I know it just conflicts each time, and, you know, I know we're planning on doing the one in December, and I'd love to just keep doing them. It's such a great group and everything. I know we're going to talk about everything that's been going on, but it's been a blast.
And I haven't got a chance to tell you this yet, but when I was teaching the Omaha course yesterday, one of your students said, listening to Lee and his class was worth the price of the entire cruise.
Wow.
Wow. You had to start adjusting your rates. Yeah. You may charge a little more.
Yeah, it was great to get feedback because, you know, I don't really get a lot of feedback from people on columns or anything, you know, and then just randomly, you know, people who hadn't even said much to me, you know, a guy said, you know, I really loved your column on deciding to win. I was like, oh, yeah. He goes, yeah, I pull that thing out. I read it at least once a week.
Wow.
I was like, wow, that's so awesome. You know, nice.
You should have reminded him that you have another column. You have several columns.
Yeah.
No, there's no reason to read.
Yeah, there's other ones to read. I guess the other one sucked. I don't know.
But tell us a little bit about the class and how you thought it went. I mean, you've done a lot of training and a lot of different formats and stuff, so this was probably a little bit different.
Yeah, you know, it was good. It was, you know, the group, I think, was more advanced than I even thought, you know, they'd be. I mean, I know I've always known, like, the group, you know, the kind of the Ante Up Nation. You know, I know, like, a lot of the tournaments that you guys have had online and stuff were relatively low buy-ins, and a lot of the hands that are discussed are low buy-ins, and but I've always known, and from playing in some of the Apes tournaments, that, you know, it's low buy-ins, but the majority of the players are really solid, you know. And I'm sure it's from listening to you guys with your hand of the week.
Yeah, it's got
to
be it.
I don't know what it is, but, you know, it's always, like, one of the toughest, like, small buy-in tournaments to play, you know, because everybody's pretty solid. And, you know, and the group here is the same way. You know, I've been complaining about playing the 2-5 game, and you just can't win any money. Like, nobody's donking away money, and you know, I think the 1-3s have even been like that too. But you know, the class was great. We got a lot of great questions. A couple of very advanced players there asking some really good questions.
Absolutely.
And you can just tell from the things they're asking that they have a ton of experience, and then from playing with them here too. But, you know, I think the class was really well. I didn't, you know, it wasn't a, since we only had 2 hours for that one class, we just, you know, I didn't have a lot of slides and everything because I wanted to make sure that it wasn't just me talking about what I wanted to talk about. There were certain things with, you know, I had in my notes I wanted to cover, but I also wanted to give people a chance to ask questions. And I thought we got a lot of great questions and great feedback. You know, you were there. I don't know if
you totally squeezed in a lot. And you're right. The questions were far more advanced than even I was expecting to get. And you could really tell that the people that showed up, this wasn't their first rodeo.
It was because a lot of times, you know, from some of the boot camps and other trainings I've done, there's a lot of people I always ask, you know, about how long you've been playing. And there's a lot of people usually in that, you know, 1, maybe 2 years. But the bulk of this group was, you know, 3 to 6 years or even beyond. You know, right. There's a lot of people you know, there's some people in their, you know, 50s, 60s have been playing since they were five, you know, and then, you know, and there's a lot of, a couple of young guys that, you know, have played a lot online and have a lot of experience, and, you know, and they've been doing really well in the cash games too, but it's been great.
Do you like the training aspect because it also keeps you sharp?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and I mentioned that in my class. I don't know if it was before. I think it was probably before you were there. That, like, one of the things, typically after I have a session, and, you know, especially if I've prepared one of my own, after that, I, you know, usually seem to have some pretty good runs because, you know, I'm just reinforcing all those fundamentals. And that's why a lot of people don't go to train. You know, people that don't go to training, they don't get that they're missing, you know, so much of this. And even when it's, like, what seems like basic stuff, and, you know, I'm sure there's lots of stuff I talked about, you know, that you already know. And then, but maybe it's phrased slightly differently, or maybe it's just reinforced. You know what? I've been playing a lot of, like, King Tens under the gun, or, you know, whatever it is that, you know, like, yeah, I have been getting kind of bored. Because, and that's one thing, like, I'm really honest with myself. From some of the games, after having the hiatus from online, and then I go and play, I found myself, you know, falling victim to getting bored. Haven't seen a hand, I'll go ahead and play. Or it's a weak player, so I think I can go ahead and play out of position. You know, and I can probably still outplay him, but you can't really outplay anybody out of position over time. You're just going to lose money.
Yeah.
Things like that that I reinforce, and, you know, that's why I really love training. You know, I mean, I would probably do it for free, except I just got to compensate for my time. You know, I mean, that's the only. You know,
24 hours.
I don't think Jenny and Braden would like it if I did it totally for free, but.
Well, let's talk about playing a little bit. First of all, this is the first cruise that I played very little.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I'm not really disappointed about it. You know, all this work to get on the ship and lugging tables on, we'll talk about that later, and booking people. And by the time I get on here, I'm just ready for a vacation and playing a lot and getting stressed out. So it's been nice just to kind of hang out and then watch it all. I mean, I spent a lot of time in the room, but not playing much. And it's been a lot of fun. I mean, I was a sit-and-go champion on this
a year ago. Yeah, exactly.
I couldn't lose.
Yep.
This cruise, I played two sit-and-goes and finished last in both of them.
Nice. It's variance, baby.
Penthouse to outhouse.
It's all variance.
But I was happy that we got this 3-6 hoe game going. We started that, like, the first day, I think, and it's been going the entire cruise, and you've been playing on that a lot.
Pretty much 24-7, and it's a nice level because it attracts the people who normally play 2-4, so they're not completely out of their element. And it also gets the 4-E players who say, I know I'm not going to get a 4-E game going, so I'll come down. So you get a nice mix of players when you're playing. And, yeah, I've played it. It's been going pretty much from whenever the room opens until it closes, and I've played most of the sessions. And I'm not winning a lot in them, though. I'm winning, like, $20, $40, $30, breaking even, $5 last night.
Yeah.
I was down, like, 40 at one point, and then ended up breaking $5. So, but it's fine with me. You know, I just love playing it.
And here's the thing. You don't drink either, so you've got positive EV already.
Oh, man. Some of the people who drink, it's amazing how they can pound them. We had a guy at the table. He was taking straws and making little triangle chains out of them to remind himself how many he drank. It was pretty funny. But I really liked the whole game. I really enjoyed it.
You know, I know it's sacrilegious for us to say on this show that that one of us doesn't like Raz. And it's not that I don't like Raz. In fact, actually, when we were doing the training class and I was teaching people Raz, I think they really got into it. And, you know, I was telling them, you know, how simple it looks, but it's rather complex. But it's such a frustrating game at times, too, that I really don't miss it in this rotation.
Yeah.
And as much as I like Stud, too, I don't really miss it in the rotation either. I mean, I like the split pot games, so you get the split pot games and then a hold'em. And it just seems like to be a more fun rotation.
And it seems like this game from all of our cruises, like, it always varies from cruise to cruise. We have a horse once, we have a hoe once.
Right.
You know? So it's always whatever one grasps on in the beginning of the cruise and then stays the rest of the way. But I really enjoyed it. And one of the hands that came up in it I thought was interesting. I had ace-deuce in an Omaha hand, and somehow the flop, I was going for the nut low, and ended up making two pair. And so I said, well, I had ace-deuce going for the nut low, but I made two pair instead. And a woman folded, and then another guy had a low, and so we split. Or no, another guy had two pair too, but he didn't have a bigger two pair than me. I took the whole pot. And then a husband leans to his wife and said, man, you didn't have any kind of low? She goes, yeah, but he had the nut low. And she folded and mucked it. And then so I didn't hear that until, I mean, I didn't realize what was going on until it was over. And I thought, whoa, and that's a kind of an angle shoot. If you knew you were doing it, you could say, I got ace deuce, you know, and make somebody fold, thinking if they're not paying attention, that they don't have the nut low.
Yeah, that's true.
And then they muck it, and then you say, but I don't really have the low. I have, you know, two pair or something. And I didn't really angle shoot, obviously, because I, you know, but that was something that was interesting, and that's something you got to be careful of. Make sure you put your hands up, let everybody see your hand in Omaha. Can't tell you, I mean, even today, I had a hand where I thought I just had an open-ended straight flush draw and a pair of queens. So I showed my hand, and a lady had aces, and I was about to muck, and I looked, and there a deuce came on the river, and I had a deuce in my hand. I made queens up, and it won, and I won half the pot. Always show your hand, man. I mean, we always say that, but it's a good lesson. Always show your hand, and especially in Omaha split pot, you know, 08.
Oh, man. I mean, and the training class, too, I mentioned that. I'm like, this is a game. This is not one where you're cagey with the cards. I mean, people are not going to pick up, at this level, pick up betting patterns or how you play by not showing your cards here.
Yeah.
So turn them over. And even in the training class, we had four hands, and all four hands, somebody had misread their hand.
Crazy. It is crazy. And then you get people shouting out.
Declared something, right. And then people are like, hey, is this a game where a card speak? Or, yeah, my card speak. That's why you turn it over.
Yep, turn
it
over. You know, guys yelling out, I got a live deuce. And they didn't even need to yell that because they had the nut low. You know, it's just, it's really weird. I don't know. But within that whole game, twice I saw quads lose to a straight flush. Once in study and once in Omaha.
Man, and you know, we bankrupted our company because, you know, we don't have a Babby jackpot.
So we just promised them our first quarter earnings for next year.
Joke's on them. All right, well, we haven't got you in the whole game yet, right?
Nope.
But you've been playing a lot of 2-5 and a little bit 1-3.
Yep.
What is the strength of the players here, I guess?
They're unfortunately too strong. And I'm not just saying that to, like, you know, pump them up. I mean, it really is, like, especially last night. The first night in the 2-5, it was a little bit looser. And, you know, it's a mix of players. There's a few players that maybe should be playing the 1-3 that were playing the 2-5. But there were several players that were actually pretty good. And, they were like, man, this sucks. I'm going to play the 1-3 and see if, you know, I can win anything there. Because nobody was really giving away chips, especially last night, you know.
Yeah.
And so you're eking out some small profits. There's been a couple of people that have done pretty well. Gabe's been kind of tearing it up both nights, you know. And he's a really solid cash game player. And, you know, and so there are some people really winning. But, you know, he's also hit some really nice runs, you know. And then, you know, for the most part, everybody's just kind of losing a little bit or winning a little bit. So, yeah, it's been fun, but it's, you know, just the group and the interaction, you know. And that's what I really like, too, you know, because I'm not here to try to, like, bust everybody on the cruise. And, you know, and there's some players that, honestly, like, there's some that I think are stronger cash game players, you know, than I am. And, you know, I mean, I think I can hold my own against most of them, but I think they're probably a little bit stronger, you know. And then, you know, because you guys know I've focused more on tournaments over time.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, but that's, you know, I talked about that a little bit in the class about keeping your ego in check and just knowing who's better. And, you know, but it's gotten to the point, you know, like usually me and the couple that we've kind of, you don't even have to say anything, but you kind of avoid each other, you know.
Yeah.
It's, you know, but there's really, there weren't a lot of people to really go after either, you know. So it's just been kind of straightforward, you know. I just play kind of some ABC and every once in a while do something, but, you know, just enjoying it and having a lot of fun.
Well, we had two multi-table tournaments on this cruise, and the first one you finished fifth, I believe, right?
Yep.
And but the highlight of that was this woman who just loved the fact that she won this cruise anyhow. So she was, like, stoked from the minute we saw her on the pier, walking on the ship. And then she ends up winning this thing, and it made her life, I think. I mean, not just her day or a year, her whole life. And the best part, she said, was knocking Lee Childs out.
Well, she, you know, and it was best. She has, so far, she's got, I think, the best quote. Because there was another guy at the final table that plays for a living. And at one point, she won this big pot, and she was all shaking and excited, you know. And she goes, you know, I never claimed I was very good, but I just love to play cards. You know, and he and I looked at each other and just kind of was like, man, that's awesome. You know, because you get in the grind sometimes and you don't love to play it, and it's frustrating. And, you know, and I know, like, even with, you know, some of those mixed games you guys are playing, and you got these awesome draws and they just brick out. And it's just so, and you get mad about it because, you know, you've had it happen so many times. She didn't care about anything, and it was amazing how, like, the hands she was getting at that final table. But I was really happy. Before she was real excited.
Yeah, and what I like to ask is it's a weird situation we put you in here, and you've probably been in the situation in other places, but maybe not as pronounced as this. I mean, you are the celebrity on this cruise, you know, for lack of a better term. And I think there are people that that are gunning for you just to have that story to take home. Yep. And I don't think she was gunning for you. She was just having fun. She likes to play cards, like you said. But are you seeing that in the cash games?
There's been a couple of times, you know, and I think especially when we first started, you know, they, like pretty much any time in the cash games, we get several callers, you know, and they're in with kind of some funky hands. And you know, it's, you know, but it's the kind of thing you know, because I've done some other cruises and I've done some other things, you know, just when we, you know, when I've taught at camps and then maybe we play cash games or maybe we're playing in some sit and goes or something. So, you know, kind of used to it. It makes it hard. You know, I'd rather just nobody know who I am and just play. And but, you know, it's still a lot of fun, too. And, you know, it just makes me have to kind of adjust what I'm doing. And I think over, you know, at this point now, you know, there's not a lot of it, at least from the people that have played with me, because they see I'm not just trying to be like Mr. Pro running over the table. I mean, I'm playing to win, you know, and I'm playing to, you know, to play right and just play to have fun. So it's been great, though.
And how did today's tournament go? I unfortunately went out Kings versus Aces. Probably the worst way to go out of a tournament, I think.
No, mine was way worse than yours.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, so I started off. I was winning, like, almost every hand, and I was we started with, like, 6,000 chips. I was up to 9,000 in, like, no time. Then I lost one hand with, like, it was kind of a standard spot with ace-jack to ace-king, and I lost almost half my stack, but it was a late-position limper. I was on the button. I raised. And then the big blind moved in, and I was committed to call. So I had the ace king that held, and then grinded up a little bit, had a couple of shoves. And then this idiot, I shove my queen five of spades. This idiot calls me with ace king of spades. I just don't know where these people come from. And I flop my gut shot, and I still don't get there. And that's just, it's awful. I know I owe Chris a buck now for the bad beat story, but I'll get you that later.
Hey, someone else owes me a buck, too. I was playing Chinese poker last night, and I actually won against our good friend Ramsey, who helps run the tournaments. And he's, like, a brilliant Chinese poker player. Yeah. And I won, so he owes me a buck, and he hasn't paid me yet. So if you ever play Chinese poker with Ramsey, get the money up front. But I love Chinese now. I'm starting to really, really like it.
That was actually a special treat that I told you I shoved the queen five of spades. Because if you know, if you follow my tweets, like, if I just say, oh, I lost a race, or, oh, I busted, you know, usually it's that kind of a hand, because I don't really want to tweet exactly what my shove range might be. This is a spot. It was just perfect that I was, you know, I was in the cutoff and folded to be, and I just need to shove. I was right under 10 big blinds, and the handies were just huge. You know, I was getting up there, so.
Well,
anyway.
I had one of those smiling moments today, too, and you play, obviously play quite a bit more than I do, so I'm sure this happens to you. But I got frisky under the gun with 10-8 suited, because, of course, it's suited, which makes it seven times better, right? And made a raise and got three bet and four bet before it got to me. And, of course, I was smart enough to lay it down. And it ended up being three pocket pairs and an ace king among the four people in the hand, too. And I just sat back and laughed a little bit that I just talk about terrible timing.
Yeah.
To try to play 10-8. And you know, even if I would have hit something on the flop, I would have got totally schooled. So I think it's funny that you're like, oosh. At least I only lost the minimum 3x there, I guess.
I had one of those moments where we were playing, it was in the whole game, and we were playing Hold'em, and I had raised, like, under the gun with something like that, like 9-8 or something. And I got called in two places, and then I hit a draw, so I wanted to get the free card, because the blinds are the ones that call me. So I bet and got them to call. On the turn, I didn't get there. On the river, I checked, and they all checked, and my 9-high won. And I don't know how I won, but it's like, oh, my God, I value bet. You didn't even realize that was like a value bet, you know, with 9-high, and you win a hand. It was brutal.
It's awesome.
But I tell you, the dealers on this, the dealers were just very, very good. And they're all just like, you know, we've been doing cruises for a while, and they all get to know each other sometimes, and you get the mix of the familiarity, and sometimes that might get a little too familiar with the players. And this time they were great dealers, and that's all I heard. You know, we're at the spa, we were at the hot tub yesterday, and two or three people from the cruise had joined us and then gotten out and joined us, and every one of them that came in, they were just like, I gotta tell you guys, where'd you get these dealers? Because they're fantastic. And that's all I've been hearing the whole ship all cruise.
Here's a little fact that Jody Russell, our program manager, told me yesterday. They were sitting around talking the dealers the other day, and they determined that we have 9 dealers on the cruise. Five of them have dealt the final table of the World Series of Poker at some point in their career.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, no, and I haven't actually, I don't think I've talked to you about that, but they're phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like, all of them are good, you know, and I've never played somewhere where every single dealer was really good. And they're fast, they don't make mistakes, you know, if they do, they're like, they're mad about it, you know, they care, they catch it, and they're like, you know, and so, you know, it's really cool there, and they're super nice, super friendly, you know, they're funny, you know, it's just, it's been, it's, they've made it that much more enjoyable, But I played, you know, charity tournaments or other cruises, you know, and you get such a mix. And
yeah.
So usually in a charity tournament, you have volunteers who maybe even never dealt before.
Yeah, right.
And so that was actually the last time I was playing, you know, and the tournament itself, the charity tournament was awesome. You know, but the dealers just, you know, but they just didn't know. They've never been trained. But these are, they're all professional dealers.
So really wrap it up, I think, with one line about them. I've played probably 24 hours of Ho, not one flop by accident during the stud rounds. You know what I mean? They just knew it all. Matter of fact, there was one hand where a guy, you know, most stud players know this, but somebody checks out and folds when there was no betting. They have to get a card on the next street, face up. And a lot of people don't know that, but the dealers knew it. And they instantly didn't even think about it. Gave it up, and everyone's like, and a lot of people at the table didn't realize. And they're like, why did he get a card? And he checked out, but there was no action, so he has to get a card.
Oh, yeah.
So it's those kinds of rules and stuff. They just instantly knew it, you know. And they're just great dealers. I really, really appreciate the dealers. I was over-tipping all crews, man. It was just so worth it to have them on the ship, and was very happy with them.
Yeah, and I think what people probably don't realize is that, you know, Jody obviously has a very strict criteria for who he wants. He only hires people that he's worked with or come highly recommended. And it's funny for me because we know half of these deals that have dealt with us before, and then we get a new group this time too, so I get spend some time talking to them, trying to get to know them. And I always ask them, hey, where do you deal? And I go, well, I'm a tournament director, or I'm a floor, or I run the room or something. And so they're here dealing, so it's almost like you get an all-star team of people that that usually do more important is probably the wrong word to say, but, you know, higher on the food chain kind of jobs.
Right, they got those jobs because they were so good at dealing that they got to move up the line.
I mean, one of them was a tournament director at the World Series this year, one was a floor person at the World Series, and there may be others, too.
Yeah. That's
great.
Yeah, so we're really happy with the staff, and they're probably, most of them are probably going to be back again for our December cruise. So.
Yeah, I know they're real excited about it. And the players this time have been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's incredible, you know. They're all just here to play poker, it seems like, and they all know what they're doing, and they're all... There are no arguments, no fights. No, it was just a really great time. Everybody's having it. They all realize it's a cruise. They all realize they're playing poker. And it's not life or death. And they're all just a lot of fun. We're all talkative and really good time.
And you've played more than I have, but I think I've been in the room a good amount, too. But we haven't had any blow-ups or anything like that, really, this time, which is great because it's right. It's a cruise, you know. And, you know, some people were playing for some serious money. So, I mean, there are going to be some losers that go home. So you can't get upset. But it's nice that it's a cruise and it kind of calms people a little bit, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of reminds me of when I used to live in – I used to live up north, and the places that I used to work – everybody at the job was miserable. They were all miserable, and no matter what you did, you were bitter. And it took a long time for me to get rid of a lot of that bitterness. But when I moved to Florida, I was at work, and like the first night, I needed some help with something. And everybody was like, I got it. I'll take care of it. And all these people were offering to help me. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. And one of the guys I worked with said, relax, dude, it's Florida. And now, I'm not saying that Florida's a better place than anywhere else, but just for me, it was such a culture shock to go from nobody wanted to help me up there to down here. Same thing here. It was just like, you go into a normal poker room, you get Omaha table, there's fights every 5 minutes. And this thing, I have not seen one fight or argument, and I played Omaha for, like I said, probably 24 hours on this cruise.
Yeah.
So just a different atmosphere. It was a really good time. Really happy with the way this went.
But I thought everybody in Florida was originally from New York.
Well, you're probably right.
No one's ever been born
in
Florida.
They chill out.
These were the native Florida people that I was talking with that first night. But, no, you're right. A lot of transplants. But
we did have a handful of podcast listeners, too, which is always fun. I talked to Russ from Tennessee a little bit today, and he's just having the time of his life. He has four kids at home, twin 11-year-olds, and a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old, I think.
Wow.
And he said the last time his wife and he have taken a vacation, just the two of them, has been 6 years.
Wow.
And I just can't imagine that because, you know, people on the show know that Laura and I are on vacation every other day.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine going 6 years. And it's obvious that it's difficult to do that kind of traveling with that many kids. And I know since you had Braden, at least probably at the least, it's tugged at your heartstrings when you've been traveling and you haven't been with him, let alone trying to find a way to get him on the road.
Yeah, and this is the first time with virtually no contact, you know, so that's a little tough. Yeah. But I've, I don't know what it's going to cost me. We've texted a few times, and not with Braden, but with
he's advanced.
And I did talk to her once. She was, like, sick the first day. I just called to check in, you know, so, you know, but just not, usually we, you know, talk a lot more text and, you know, of course see him, you know, and I can't, like, do Skype from the ship, you know, those kind of things just would be too expensive. But
And this has been a double treat, too, I think, for some of them. I mean, to come on and, you know, one of them was telling me today, you know, it's great listening to you guys, but it's fun to actually sit and talk to you guys. And I know everybody listens to the show, loves when Lee's on the show, too. So to have him on the cruise, too, and be able to bump in him, into him and talk to him,
absolutely,
too, has really been fun for those folks.
Absolutely. And, you know, every trip, too, we have some sort of hiccup that happens on our trip, no matter what it is. And
we're smoothing out the
we're getting better at it. We're getting better at it. But this was kind of funny. First, you know, we're coming over here on a Monday, and on Saturday, Scott and I loaded all the tables in the truck. You know, mm-hmm. we got that all done out of the way, and it went really smooth.
It was the easiest load we've ever had.
So we're like, wow, this is great. Just got to the truck home with them. I went home. Back was a little sore, but I was okay, you know. Next day, I mowed the lawn. I'm okay. And then one of the kids came over, and I was picking her up, and she sort of like twisted a little bit, like she didn't want to get picked up a certain way or whatever, and I wrenched my back.
Oof.
Now, it was already sore because, you know, or atrophied or whatever from doing the tables. All of a sudden, the whole left side, all the way down to my leg, was just my sciatica nerve or something, and I couldn't even stand up for like half that day. I'm like, how am I going to lug 10 tables and 4 bins that weigh like 800,000 pounds each, by the way?
That's a conservative number, too, I think.
So, yeah. So Scott and I agreed that he would leave from his house and start heading on the highway, and I would catch him on the highway, and then we would follow each other to the ship. And realizing now I have to make a 2.5-hour drive with this sciatic nerve where I can't even sit still, you know. So it was a nightmare, but I'm like, all right, I'm going to just grin and bear it and get there. We get there, and I said, hey, Scott, by the way, we're at customs. By the way, I don't know if I can actually lift a table. He's like, what? I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I can actually lift these tables because my back, you know, I wrenched it, I pulled it, and, you know, the certain ways I move, I literally fall to the ground if I move a certain way. But we'll see if I can lift them. Turns out I could lift them, so it was actually pretty uneventful, that part. So we get the guy to come over, they get the dog smells them, flawless. Everything, they came over with these two large bins that we put the tables right in flat, perfect. Everything's flawless.
Absolutely beautiful. Things were going well.
It was going great, you know. So where do you want to put the tables? Well, I don't know, we don't know where to put the tables, but you guys loaded them for us last time on this ship, so we figured you just put them where you're supposed to. All right, so that's what the guy said. So we come up, we're meeting all the staff, we're signing everybody in. Tick-tock, tick-tock, it's like 1:30, we're still seeing the tables. Usually the tables beat us up here. Like, what's going on with the table, Scott? I don't know. So we get the group coordinator here, right? She comes over and she's like, oh, I'll check on that for you. Right? Okay, good, thanks. She checks on it. About half an hour later, she comes back and she says, we have a little problem. Now, Scott's not here, so I'm by myself. Now, Scott's the diplomatic one, right? She starts telling me this illustrious story of how we don't have our tables yet, but she hasn't gotten to the climax of the story. Finally, I just say, let's cut to the chase. Am I getting my tables or not? And she's like, well, that's what I'm trying to tell you. I said, no, you are trying to tell me. Just tell me. Am I getting the tables or not? She says, well, they're on the dock right now. And I'm like, okay, well, she goes, well, the union staff on Mondays won't carry things on the ship. I'm like, what? What, you didn't expect, like coffee to come on the ship and food? And I mean, I don't understand. How does the union not have to work on the ship today? For some reason, I don't know if we didn't grease their palms or whatever it was, but they left all of our equipment on the dock, and we were leaving in 3 hours. Wow. So then they had to see if they can get their staff to leave the ship to get it and bring it on, but they couldn't for some...
Yeah, customs and immigration reasons.
Yeah, so they couldn't come off the ship to get it. So then they had to get clearance for us to leave the ship and go carry our own tables and our own buckets, all of the equipment ourselves. And then when we lugged them, did you see that gangway we lugged?
Yeah.
It was like somewhere over the rainbow Wizard of Oz loop. It was such an arch. We had to carry them like 100 feet. Now, I'm telling you, first of all, my back is out. I was dreading just pulling them off the truck and putting them on the ground. Now I had to carry them 85 feet, all right? And this arch, I mean, literally, it looked like a rainbow. We had to go up it and then down it. When you're going down it and you got that bin on wheels behind you and it weighs more than you do, I literally slammed right into the metal detector and knocked over the immigration guy or whatever he was, customs guy. I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. What are you doing? I'm like, dude, I can't control the weight. Oh, it was brutal. Brutal. And then it starts raining on us.
Oh, man.
That was the worst part of the trip right there. But it worked out, and hopefully it'll be a union day when we dock, and it'll take our stuff off the ship.
We'll have to go to union.org and check the work date.
The schedule. Yeah, we don't even know if we're getting our stuff off the ship yet, so we'll let you know next week.
That's right. We don't even have it off yet.
We may not even have a cruise in
December.
Might
be a part two to this podcast that
might have moved the December cruise back to the ship.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Just leave it on the ship. We'll be back in December.
Well, that's a great segue there, Lee. Our next cruise is December 10th through the 17th. Not that any anybody that listens to the show doesn't have that memorized, because we keep hammering it into your head. But if all this sounded fun, and it should have, because it's been a blast, you know, go to antiupmagazine.com/cruise. $619 per person through September 22nd, and Lee All My Childs is going to be on that ship, right?
That's right.
All My Childs.
And it's going to be a 7-9er, so you got plenty more time to impart your vast wisdom to our passengers,
yeah,
both in the free class and
room, right?
Yeah. We're going to call it the Lee Childs Conference Room. We're going to get you one of those big Donald Trump chairs to sit in.
Nice.
They lord over our folks.
Yeah, you know, this time we just had the 1-2-hour session, and then, you know, and I let people know I could do some stuff. And I actually have, there's actually one passenger that I met at one of the boot camps years ago, and he bought a package of individual lessons, and we did one down there, and then just, you know, he never actually got other lessons. As soon as I saw him, I was like, I still owe you lessons, you know? He's like, yeah, you do, you know, we need to talk, and, you know, and so, but I'm looking
first lesson's going
to
be, you realize you're a poker player, sir, right? Poker players are the biggest nits in the world. They don't forget this kind of stuff.
Yeah, so it was good. He's like, yeah, thanks for remembering, I appreciate it. And I'm like, of course I remember, you know, but it was great. I'm going to try to, you know, put together, you know, and if people want to suggest some things too, you know, mm-hmm. that they'd like to have covered, or if they're looking for specific things, I mean, or I can give you guys some ideas of what I'm thinking, and, you know, it'd be great to have some, you know, some input ahead of time from folks, because we'll have plenty of time to get a lot of playing in and do some classes.
Yeah.
You know, I've been having fun just playing this time anyway, and spending all my profits on massages. Massages are awesome.
That's
too.
True.
They're just phenomenal.
Every day I say, hey, Lee, how'd you do last night? Well, I netted 105. And I'm like, wait, what does that mean? Well, because the other 100 I spent on a massage. So you got to know there's different levels of Lee Child's profit zone.
Right.
But a parting thought now, why isn't your name Lee Children? I don't get that. How do you pluralize child like that?
I have no idea. I couldn't tell you.
Must be Old English.
We need to research that.
Yeah.
Get on your family tree. Go to ancestry.com and see when it changed from children to child.
Okay. We'll do that. I could ask my dad.
Yeah, maybe we'll ask him. He's had a great time.
Yeah, we'll meet up with him in the circuit lounge today.
Yeah, he'll probably be there. But it's good. I think it's been a good pre-birthday week for him. His birthday's this weekend.
Turning 70, right?
So we're 70th birthday, and we're celebrating with my family this weekend when we get back. So. Been a great time for us to get away, and
very good.
It's been a blast.
Well, thanks for coming with us, man. We appreciate you being on.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, for Lee Children, I'm Chris Cosenza.
I'm Scott Logs.
We'll see you at the tables.
Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.